Hey, I'm Chris Uglietta, and welcome back to Game Changers. This is our second episode, the second of three featuring Brian Bowman. In light of Apple deprecating IDFA, we're talking about now the fact that creative is king. And Brian is really a great person for that. I got to work with him briefly when I was at Zynga, and he was at Consumer Acquisition. And that's really what they are very good at is creative. I remember one ad that featured a talking cat that did really well. That's something I never would have come up with internally. So I hope you enjoy this. If you have any ideas or would like to be on the show or just want to get in contact, please reach out. Take care.
Game Changers.
Hello and welcome back to Game Changers. I'm your host, Chris Uglietta, based out of Austin, Texas. And today we're going to dive into section two on the IDFA mobile playbook with Brian Bowman. We're going to take a look at creative as king, the creative journey, and really how to develop winning creative and test it and iterate on it. Brian, you're founder and CEO of Consumer Acquisition, famed UA and creative shop. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
Sure. We're 8 years old, managed over $3.5 billion in paid social spend, heavy concentration in mobile apps. All of our advertisers are direct response oriented. We provide both a creative studio that produces videos and images at scale. We're doing about 100,000 concepts a year. And we do paid user acquisition across the platforms there to the right, Facebook, Google, TikTok, Snap, Apple search ads. And we are adding in the SDK networks, Unity, Vungle, Chartboost, AppLovin.
Terrific. Thank you. And to learn more, please click the link in the description of this video. All right, let's get stuck in to Creative is King. Tell us what's going on here.
Yeah, so IDFA Armageddon. I love the bomb. Like as the impact, the strong financial negative impact from the removal of IDFA is being felt across the industry, when you layer in automation from Google and Facebook, right, those two things, removing levers from the media buyer, removing the certainty of deterministic tracking, that means the last thing that we all have control over is creative and the quality with which it operates. You know, the challenge we found is that it's very difficult to find a good ad. The graph to the left there is, if you look at the vertical, it's a number of the amount of spend. And the horizontal is the number of videos. These are concepts, not iterations or variations. The odds that you beat the best asset in a portfolio are about 5 to 15%. That means a vast majority of the time, us, you, any creative agency is going to fail to beat that best asset. If you don't beat it, you lose money running the second, the third, the 10th best ad. And I think the frustrating part is when you find that winner, it's only going to last about 10 weeks. Now, that's obviously contingent on the velocity of the spend and the size of the audience. The point is, you've got to have a virtuous cycle to come up with new ideas rapidly and cost effectively to sustain scale and profit. So this section is about how we do it and how we try to communicate. And, you know, of course, are open to all other feedback from folks who are trying something different.
Wow. Yeah, I could just say, oof, you know, 5% is pretty low. So you better have a lot of at-bats is kind of the first takeaway here.
Yeah. If you can imagine, say it backwards, 1 out of 20 to 1 out of 50 concepts have the chance of winning. So you got to do an awful lot of work. It all begins with competitors. And, you know, I love the quote from Picasso that a good artist borrows, but a great one steals. And of course, Steve Jobs ripped him off. The point here is competitors are failing at that same rate, that 85 to 95%. If you understand how to do a SWOT competitive analysis of their creative, it can provide you an endless idea of tested concepts to try. The challenge I think we found is that if you do that, you end up looking like everybody else. Now, obviously, App Annie has a very good solution for this, and there are other solutions from Facebook Ad Library and others. But I think it's really important to start to look at the velocity of the spend, the number of impressions, the both competitors that are, say, if you're a match three, look at your match three clients, but also aspirationally, do you like ads from other companies and what can you derive from that?
Sure, as well as where they're running in terms of geography and what networks.
Absolutely. And so we start to peel this apart a little bit. We talked about it on the last session about contextual advertising and persona-led creative. And if you, again, rip through Facebook's big catch, you really do need to diversify the way in which you approach doing creative. And what they're saying is, if you can buy into this motivation-led creative, it becomes future-proof, so that independent of the kind of changes that are going on across the ecosystem, it will allow you to sustain a viable amount of business. Sorry, I just lost my monitor here for a second.
No worries, live TV here.
There we go. Sorry, guys. Cool. I really like the breakout to the left here, which is Facebook's way of thinking about why people play games. And there is no right framework. There are many different ways and contextual models that you can look at for doing segmentation analysis. But this is a good model generically across many verticals. And really what it's going to do is lead you into what we're calling an ad concept model. Think of it like a framework that allows you to both communicate with agencies like us, more importantly, to group internal communications into creative lanes. And the general idea is you're going to take something like user motivations, which is a part of what we looked at from Facebook. You know, some people like to complete levels. Some people like to kill each other. Some people just like to relax. So if you understand what the motivations are for a level or for a game, you could speak to them uniquely, both with visuals and ad copy. If you then take, so that's the horizontal here. If you take the vertical, and these are trends. So trends from competitors, trends that you see in the industry. Now this happens to be for a fashion game, so the next comment's a bit odd. Think of trends like fashion itself. Some things are in season, some things are out of season, and they're constantly changing and evolving. And so it isn't like you can fill this out one time and then use it for, 6 to 9 months. It's a liquid process that is constantly evolving. And the goal here is the intersection of, say, an excitement and a trend is an idea or many ideas. And so you can assign a group of people to one of these lanes and get them to buy into the concept of this ad framework and then start to knock out executions of ideas. And the idea is, over time, you run them through an A/B testing solution, you figure out if they show promise, and then you either kill the entire lane or you kill the concept. So it's a really great way to help you think of overlaying a communication process on top of something that's inherently creative, which is coming up with new ideas.
Yeah, when we have to create so many ads, like we discussed earlier, having a framework like this is critical to make sure you're covering the basis. And you mentioned earlier competitive. And I really look at this left column. In there, we have success versus fail ads. This is where I think the competitive analysis and using the platforms helps a lot, because these trends come and go, and identifying them early and testing them early really helps drive success.
Absolutely. So here's our approach, right? I'm not saying this is right, but what we normally do when we work with a client is we want to start with their performance data. So what works for them, what fails, and why? We obviously don't want to repeat their mistakes, and we don't want to repeat what works. We want to try something new. So you first have to get educated in performance. You want to look at the competitors, as Chris was mentioning, tear apart the trends and motivations, and then run that through an A/B testing harness, which we'll talk about in a moment. You fill out your ad concept model, and then it all boils down to the ease or the complexity of tearing apart your assets. How easy can you recombine them into new ideas? Think of it like a bucket of Legos. And if it's very difficult to get access to new assets, it slows down the ideation. Eventually, you've got to make it about just your title. And that's where I think personas can get overlaid against the ad concept model to then reconfigure it so it's unique to your particular persona. And that gives you these breakthrough ideas. And ultimately, you're going to run out of assets and you're going to have to come up with new assets tied to these trends that you're looking at. So this is the process we go through. Think of it like a 6-month exercise that's constantly recycling itself. And I don't know if you've seen Moneyball with Brad Pitt. It's one of my favorite movies. think of it, you know, the gist of the movie is sabermetrics, quantitative analysis helped fundamentally change the way that talent was recruited for baseball. And if you think of that as an analogy, in all ways, I see that applicable to the mobile app industry today. Most mobile app developers are focused on retention, revenue, and LTV. They're not focused on creative fatigue. And at the end of the movie, the owner of the Boston Red Sox says to Brad Pitt's character, if every team isn't tearing down the way that they are recruiting talent and rebuilding them using your model, they're a dinosaur. And that's exactly what happened with the loss of IDFA. Product teams and marketing teams typically work in silos. The marketing team is frequently starved of the assets they need to come up with new ideas because the company is focused on new levels and new features. This forces the force function of IDFA loss requires new onboarding flow, new ideation, and it's an opportunity for all of us to think differently.
Great point there. Yeah, definitely makes marketers really starve for more data points and pushing the product teams to create them.
And so in summary, we happen to believe that creative is the last lever for sustained financial success. It's really difficult to do creative well, meaning you have a 5 to 15% chance of succeeding. 1 out of 20, 1 out of 50 concepts is what it's going to take to find a new winner. So you got to have a structure to blast through a lot of unique ideas and understand what you tried last week in order to stay ahead of this creative fatigue. And when you get good at doing it, you'll find it actually quite freeing because the ad concept model guides the team to make sure that they're staying on track. And we are seeing actually quite good success with user motivated creative that is persona led in terms of unlocking these pockets of efficiency. In fact, if you look at it from a contribution analysis, you can see a 50 to 100% increase in performance when you find a new winner. So it's definitely worth the financial investment to push yourself there, and it does help to sustain performance.
Yeah, I'll just pony on to that. There's so much creative to be done here that I find it hard for any one team internally to handle all of it. If you're running, you know, a AAA game, you know, with plenty of budget. So working with external partners, doesn't have to be Brian, although I recommend him, really helps a lot to kind of keep things fresh, because with the amount of volume being done, it's really difficult to come up with new concepts and sort of drive this performance.
Yeah. And to dovetail to that a bit, there are a lot of creative agencies to explore. Something like the ad concept model allows you to work with many and assign the lanes so that each company is doing something unique. So it is helpful independent of how many companies you're working with.
Yeah, definitely. Assigning lanes is super important. And I remember your creative brief was super in-depth and basically requiring us to define what lane you're in. And I really appreciated that. Brian, thanks for walking us through Creative is King. Viewers, appreciate you being here, and check out our next episode, which is really about A-B testing and how do we determine which creative is king. I'm excited to hear about this, given that it's really difficult, if not impossible, to do this on the iOS side. So we'll hear what Brian has to say there. Thanks a lot.